free thy land. Gone underground, on the outer fringe of freedom. And this is your host, Freer Freedom, and I have become suspiciously bored with exopolitics and aliens for the past 2 months. I don't think it was artificial intelligence. I've had that run on me, and usually I get really pissed or some other strong emotion. This could be a telepathic effect. So I'll go back to my roots of street anarchism, and we'll talk about why your friends suck at activism. Since the 1970s, the left has been extremely ineffective at stopping fascism, or even checking its growth. Fascism has taken over all over the world recently, and in America it has steadily grown. Both of the dominant political parties in America have shifted dramatically to the right, with the Republicans becoming banana Republican Nazis and the Democrats becoming neoliberal conservatives, similar to Republicans of 50 years ago, and they have successfully shut out the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Furthermore, protest and direct action, like Occupy, have been successfully contained, kettled, and cut off from the popular outrage that brought them into existence until they simply peter out. Why has this occurred? Well, mostly it's because the right wing has dramatically increased their financial resources, while at the same time cutting off the left from what little logistical financial support they had in the form of unions and class action suits. As a result, wages have fallen dramatically for the average working person, and they have no time for protest since they have to work so long and so hard just to afford to put a roof over their head. As a result, you will find that many on the left are engaging in a form of left-wing fascism, which I have given the name of donationism. Just like fascism is defined as the business needs controlling and taking over the government, donationism is the need for donations taking over and controlling the protest movement. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California, 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. Just like the political parties being controlled by who their donors are, is even referred to as the donor class in the media, the same thing happens on the left when left-wing activists reach out to the community for donations. Either a few rich donors will control what kind of protest happens, or, more democratically, a large number of small donors will determine what happens. Now that wouldn't be so bad, except for the fact is that what causes people to give donations is oxytocin. Humans experience oxytocin effects when they hear about tragedy. When we hear about someone who's suffered some tragedy or hard luck, we are impelled to help them. It's what makes humans humans. We are more altruistic than other animals. We actually help each other. This is, of course, a very good thing, and it helps us to survive as a community in times that are really rough. But when it's applied to protest, where the poor are fighting against a wealthier adversary, what we want to do is we want to win. But Winning does not produce the same amount of donations as losing does. So there is a bias in the activist community to continually lose, to get busted, to go to jail, and then raise money to pay to the other side in the form of lawyers' fees, court costs, fines, and jailhouse charges that are extremely inflated just for a simple phone call. So the community is further drained of financial sources that could be used more effectively in other ways. And activists in jail are activists who aren't doing protests. This is a cycle, a vicious self-reinforcing cycle that most activists aren't even aware is going on. It's become so ingrained in activist culture that some people don't think they're actually doing activism unless they're getting arrested. Now, homeless activism is a little different. People already feel oxytocin when they see the homeless suffering, nowhere to sleep, and they're very willing to give them food. And so the poverty pimping activists would prefer to keep things just as they are. They don't want to get housing for the homeless because they're making money off them, just like the government agencies that are supposed to provide services to eliminate the problem. I think it's very clear that neither of these two poverty pimping groups want the poverty problem to go away. Otherwise, they'd have to find some other way to make money. Now, in homeless activism, since the money is coming from the general population rather than from the activist community, oftentimes they don't want protest by the homeless because that may cause the funds to dry up. Because the general community is less sophisticated, if they see the homeless as a threat, they're not going to donate. So oftentimes, those poverty pimps among the activist community either do the protesting themselves and get arrested themselves, or they disapprove of any kind of protest whatsoever. Fuck the pigs, 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 fuck the pigs. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the Fuck the Pigs Project. In addition to donationism skewing the political process on the left, the strategy and tactics of the left leave much to be desired as well. To begin with, let's look at strategy. In fact, there is no strategy on the left. Grand strategy involves doing the opposite of what your opponent expects you to do because you are trying to get the advantage over your opponent, and the first thing you need to do is to do what they don't expect. Just think about it. If you don't surprise your opponent, you're going to fall into the traps they have already laid for you because they expect you to do A, B, and C. Therefore, you end up kettled, as most protesters do, into the pens that the opposition has prepared for you. On the contrary, if you do the opposite, they will be surprised and be in a quandary, and while they're trying to figure out what to do, you are succeeding. The trouble with this kind of strategy in a consensus circle is that no one is going to go along with it because everybody else wants to do the most obvious thing that they've always done before. Now, consensorism would be all right if you were consensing on what the objective long-term should be, but when it comes to planning the strategy and the tactics used to achieve that objective, you're going to need some kind of expertise, and that may mean a chain of command or a hierarchy. This does not necessarily mean that there should be the same hierarchy for every function. Different people could be in charge of different things. Different people are expert in different areas, could have rotating hierarchies. The other problem with consensualism that it is very easy for it to be infiltrated by an agent provocateur or a snitch to skew the entire decision process in the direction of doing something that will get everyone busted or cause the public to turn against the activist or to do nothing at all. Just argue incessantly for hours and hours in a circle. To combat the problem of being infiltrated by a snitch, many anarchists become less inclusive. They exclude others who disagree with them, who might be of a different age than them, and therefore they become cut off from the larger community. And that is the objective in the end, is to reach the larger community and win not just occupying territory, but winning the hearts and minds of the majority who have been recruited into fascism and support fascism and yet receive none of the benefits from fascism. Most of the benefits of fascism go to the very rich, the very small minority at the top. Now, anarchism itself is more fun than fascism, but a lot of the more liberal elements are excluded from that fun for the reasons I mentioned earlier. A good tactic for anarchists to use would be more inclusive and bring fun to protests. Now, the strategies in the more moderate liberal wing of the left are also flawed. They tend to be more long-term because they are more in touch with the general population. On the other hand, their objectives are such trifling little successes that they bore me. And then after they get their successes, eventually the protest momentum will diminish, and then the other side will just overrun those small victories, and we're back to fascism again. The more liberal, moderate wing gets co-opted by fascism. These folks are also the ones who are more successful at getting all the donations. So the donationism fascism is strong among the more liberal elements. In fact, they can actually often make a living doing that kind of political activism. Whereas the anarchists are usually younger, more radical, they get busted and have to leave activism in order to survive. For a practical example, I have noticed that the L and the G and the T elements in activism tend to hang around, but the B and the heteros tend to become parents. Polysex is incredibly fun, but you can get stuck with a kid. And then you have to face reality in a different way. Now you are responsible for that child, and you're going to have to leave activism in order to support that child. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. In the 1970s, Clive Baxter hooked up plants to lie detectors and found that the lie detector would react whenever someone thought about harming the plants. More recently, scientists have found cells in the roots of plants very similar to the neurons in our brains. Also, plants respond to changes in their environment every 2.5 hours. So therefore, the scientific evidence supports the idea that plants are not only conscious and sentient, they have telepathic powers. And it's easy to see from the evolutionary theory that since plants cannot move, there would be an evolutionary benefit to have telepathic powers to deter animal life from eating them. With that in mind, if you are going to eat plants, it is probably morally and psychically safest to eat the leaves of perennials or only eat annuals who will die soon anyways. On the other hand, sprouts, which are just beginning their lifeline, should be planted rather than eaten. A vegan who eats sprouts is the moral equivalent of a carnivore who eats lamb and veal. Think about it. To get the nutritional equivalent of some mature broccoli, you would have to eat dozens and dozens of small baby sprouts. You fucking speciesist monster. Let's not mince words here. Property isn't just theft, it's fucking genocide. Up until the Munich Beer Act of 1516, there were mushrooms in beer, and according to Cliff High, during that period before, for about 800 years, there were fewer abductions of people by fairies, which is the equivalent to UFO cases for that period of time. So we have empirical evidence that using psychedelics to prevent alien invasion works. This is actually an element of time war, where by doing something small in an unrelated area, you can have huge effects on the downstream destinies. And because the multiverse is involved, there is a metaphysical, spiritual element to the phenomena. By taking psychedelics, you are denying these aliens some of their reality on this timeline. And as a result, the whole planet is more autonomous and free. In 2016, on Free Thy Land Pop the Op series, I ran a psychological operation, counterintelligence, against terrorists who were planning to bomb innocent American citizens on behalf of the military-industrial complex and paramilitary subcontractors. In the time since then, I discovered that they were using a useful foreign idiot as a cutout. So therefore, I performed as a well-regulated militia defending America. On February 21st, 2019, I got Tom Hartman, a media expert, to concede on air that these were times of public danger under the Fifth Amendment, because our treasonous commander-in-chief was kidnapping children from their parents and putting them in cages. Under the Fifth Amendment, as a court of militia, I am empowered to hold anyone to account without indictment, and there are no exceptions for the president or Supreme Court justices. This makes the court of militia the highest court in the land. While it may not be the highest court of appeal, it is the highest court of original jurisdiction. So to further defend America, I am going to rule that the 2016 election was invalid on its face due to cross-check unconstitutionally, depriving people of their votes simply because their first and last name matched someone in another state, and as applied because people were given a provisional ballot and did not realize that their vote would not be counted. I am further ruling that for all justices appointed under the Trump administration, including those upon the Supreme Court, that their jurisdiction is a nullity. But of course, if you don't make that argument upon your first appearance before these robed kangaroos or in your first paper, you will have accepted their jurisdiction. Never cooperate with your own oppression. And finally, we come to the tactics of the left. And here we have a mixed bag. Some are good, some are bad. But because they're not connected to an overall strategy, their effectiveness is more a matter of luck than anything else. Marches are always popular, but I've never seen a march that achieved anything. I've seen a lot of people in them, but no results. On the other hand, signs can be very effective, even for one person, if the message is compelling and reaches people. Occupying land is always a good technique, even if you're not successful long term. In the short term, it is effective because private property is the very root of oppression. Because it is such a radical tactic, it is often met with extreme force by the oppressive authorities, and therefore a very difficult tactic to pull off over the long term. A tactic seldom tried is to occupy land in a guerrilla fashion, where you only occupy it for one day and then pop up somewhere else. This defeats the lodging law 647E in California, because there is a very old case that one day occupation is insufficient occupation to constitute lodging. Picketing and boycotts are two other tactics that aren't used as often as they should be, considering that fascism is based on business. Attacking business is the logical way to limit it. Target that is rarely used are real estate offices to fight gentrification. Since many people find picketing boring, it might be a good idea to make it more fun by adding a party atmosphere to it, or doing street vending to offer an alternative. Ballot initiatives are extremely effective means. Instead of wasting 12 people on a bloated logistics of a food not bombs off, you could have two people providing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and the other 10 collecting signatures. This does require expertise, though. First, you have to do some polling or market research to find out if there is support for your ballot initiative. Then it must be carefully drafted to keep the fascists hemmed in. You need a legal expert for that. Finally, the actual collection must be done correctly, or the signatures get thrown out. I can give you two examples from Santa Cruz. Zav and friends came up with a rent control initiative, but they failed to do the market research, and there was not enough public support for them to win. The Cannabis Advocates Alliance had a very successful referendum against the county limiting marijuana grows, but they failed to follow it up by getting rid of the bad apples on the County Board of Supervisors with a recall effort. Failing to villainize and smear fascists in city and county government is a common mistake that the left makes that the other side does not make. Both Drew and Micah, after finally getting on the Santa Cruz City Council, had then become targets for the far right, and they were smeared and recalled. And finally, we come to vandalism and rioting. These two techniques are sure to turn the public against you. The general public does not recognize the niceties of defensive violence or property destruction. To them, it's all crazy violence, and it leads to the police cracking down justifiably in the minds of the public. Don't forget that the Nazis originally rose to power in Germany by street fighting between the brown shirts and the communists. And, of course, the false flag, Reichstag fire. To sum up, the left doesn't really want to win for fear of losing donations. It doesn't really know how to win because it lacks strategy and a good decision-making process. And it should it win by some accident of popularity and the determined support of a special interest group, they fail to expand their base of support or villainize the opposition and cut it off from its support groups. So in the end, fascism continues to grow because the left won't win. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Corte Militia, California. 10944 B. BCFM, KFUK Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. Here's how a shroom sanctuary would work. First of all, you're not going to provide mushrooms to anyone. You're merely providing a sanctuary for people to take mushrooms who have been abducted by UFOs. To protect yourself further, you could even put on your flyers, "No selling of mushrooms at this event." Where you hold your shroom sanctuary is a matter of militia discretion. On private property, it's more easy to exclude people like the pigs, the ones in blue, and other kinds from disrupting the event. But you are, of course, being less inclusive and engaging in private property, which is blasphemy in my religion. If you decide on the public option, then you can choose to get a permit or not. And in my view, asking permission to be free is surrendering your freedom. If you decide on the no permit option, then you have to think about, where can we get away with this? If you live near the beach, the seaside of the high tide mark is generally open to the public. And often half a sidewalk is available to the public. But if you want to lie down on the sidewalk, you may need to find a map to see if it is allowed in that area. What kind of music you can get away with is also at your discretion. And of course, in times of COVID, you're going to have to be spaced out 6 feet while you're spacing out. Be creative with your lights and decorations, because when the pigs do come, you'll have some stunning cop watch video. Shroom out! Well, that's the show for this evening. I'd like to apologize if I used the wrong nomenclature at any time. I think I did refer to the pigs as police. And if you want to hear more Free Thy Land, you can find it at radioforall.net, where you can find shows on street anarchism, New Age, woo-woo with a political slant, the coming pole shift that's going to wipe out 8 billion people by 2036, and some very bad jokes I used against terrorists who have been using artificial intelligence to turn your neighbors into Manchurian candidate mass shooters. And remember, all it takes for the evil fascists to win is for good people to stand aside and not eat their magic psilocybin mushrooms. And on that day, a Milankovic cocktail was thrown by the sun upon the Arctic methane, and behold, there did arise a great flaming donut from sea to shining sea, and it did lift up the land by classified technology, and the poles that were four were then again two, to the woe of the world.